that strap. And I am the recipient of that strap. I was the recipient of it many times. Now, I'm not saying we should be doing that, because today, if you were to do that, you'd get arrested. You'd be sent to jail. And I'm not advocating capital, or whatever, what do they call that? Capital punishment, or capital punishment is when they send them somewhere else. I'm not advocating anything like that, but I don't see anything wrong with old-fashioned discipline either. And unfortunately, our children are not getting that discipline. The prodigal son deserved it, but he didn't get the strap or whatever consequences to be able to work as a hired hand. He did not get that. Imagine if he had said, I'll go home, but what if my dad treats me like he treated, you know, something else? What if my dad humiliates me the way he humiliates the hired hands? What if my dad turns his back on me the way I've seen him turn his back on others who've disappointed him? I don't dare go home because dad might treat me the way he treats everyone else. That was not the way the dad was operating. That's not what he was going to do. Because the story of the father and the prodigal son exhibited fairness in every single way. I remember my father, even though he'd get mad at us sometimes for doing things we shouldn't have done, I remember him still being fair in what he did. He did not take a strap and beat us just for the sake of beating us. He didn't necessarily beat us either, you know. But he gave us a love tap once in a while. And we felt it just to get the message. He wanted us to get the message that what we did was wrong. But he was fair about it. And the story of the father and the prodigal son was fair in every way you want. You see, your kids notice this whole idea of fairness. They're watching. Our grandkids are watching us on how we are fair with each other. And dads, this is something that's all that I've always tried to live out. My kids always knew how I treated my wife. Treating their mother with respect and loving their mother with respect, to me, has been the greatest blessing to be able to pass down to my children. And I'm always telling my son, I said, look, treat your wife with respect at all times, no matter what, because your kids are watching you. And you don't want this to go to another generation. You don't want the next generation to be one that's messed up, because you want to pass on good things to the next generation, to your children, and to your children's children. So you treat your wife with respect and let her know at all times that you love her, that you're fair. And if you are fair, they see it. If you're unfair, they see it. And it affects the way they relate to you. It really does. There's just so much common sense to this. You know, now that I'm 65 years old, some of this is making more sense to me than when I started out as a father at the age of 28. And, you know, you live and learn, right? I wish I would have known some of these things way back then. Wish I would have. But this is an angle of the prodigal son's story that I think is very important to dads. And the third and final truth I see here in the story of the prodigal son, and this is what he did, and this is what we should do, and that is we need to be quick to show forgiveness. Be quick to show forgiveness. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. One thing my wife and, always, and I have always agreed to, that if we have an argument during the day, that by the end of the day, it's forgiven and forgotten about. We do not harbor grudges. We do not hold on to grudges. We do not let grudges, we do not let words destroy us. Because if you allow that to happen, number one, it's not very good for your marriage. It can destroy your marriage, it can eat your marriage, it can decimate your marriage. Number two, if you're unwilling to forgive each other, your children see it. People around you see it. And it's an unhealthy, unhealthy situation. So be quick to show forgiveness. And look at what happened when the prodigal son came to his senses and he decided to return home. His father saw him approaching from a distance. The father then did something that was, at that time, culturally unexpected. Normally, a father would want to be addressed in a respectful manner by the son before responding. His father didn't wait. And guess what happened? The Bible says in verse 20, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. He kissed him. The son then began the speech. He gave a little speech that he practiced all the way home. He was probably on the way home wondering, well, what am I going to say to my father? How is this going to be something positive rather than negative? How am I going to make the best of this? I know what I deserve, but how am I going to make the best of it? And in verse 21, this is what he said. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. In a very real way, as Christians, we could probably say that about our Heavenly Father, that we're not worthy to be called His children. We're not worthy to be the sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. But the Father didn't wait to hear the rest. The Father wouldn't have anything to do with that. And he said to his servants, quick, go out. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it because we are going to party. We're going to have a good time. For this son of mine, he says, was dead. But now he is alive. He was lost. And now he's found. Does that remind you of a hymn? Amazing grace. Once was lost. Now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The son had come to his senses. The son had experienced the forgiveness of his father. And I believe the son had experienced the forgiveness of his heavenly father. So the question is, what do you do when your children repent? When your children say they're sorry, when your children say, I knew I was wrong and I messed it up and I deserve punishment, I deserve the wrath of hell itself. What do? You fold your arms and say, you have to prove that you mean business first. Yeah. Is that what you do? See, when they came to their senses, he was quick to forget. Quick to forget. Not only does that principle apply in our homes, not only does that principle apply with husbands and wives, not only does that principle apply with children, siblings among one another, and siblings with their moms and dads, that applies to the body of Christ as well. That applies to the church body. That applies that when someone has wronged you and you have confronted that person and you've dealt that situation that you are quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. Don't let it fester. Don't let it drag you down. Don't let it do you in. Forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, is what Jesus said when he was on the cross. That's how we're to do it with each other. So these three things build a foundation for our children, our family. Give your children an example of fairness, and be quick to forgive. When your children fail, your grandchildren fail, be quick to forgive. This is how a father expresses his love to his children. This is how a grandfather expresses his love to his children and his grandchildren. And this is something we can do at any time. This is something that can happen at any moment. It takes a lifetime in many ways. But forgiveness is something that can take a very short time. It takes a commitment. It takes a real commitment. It takes a solid commitment to treat our children the same way our Heavenly Father treats us. Our Heavenly Father treats us with love. Our Heavenly Father treats us with patience. Our Heavenly Father treats us beyond what words can even describe. That's a father's love. That's a father's love. So that old chorus that we used to sing in Sunday school, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be, is something that continues on. And it's something that through the rest all of our lives we'll come to understand the significance of it. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Father's love. Thank you that our Father loved us, our earthly Father and our Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for our Heavenly Father who gives us this example through the story of the prodigal son. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that each of us might again be reminded of the Father's love for us. And no matter what setting we're in, whether we're in the business of raising children, whether we're in the business of over-shepherding or overseeing or helping and coming alongside family members, or if it's to be part of the body of Christ, being a member of the fellowship here, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just give us direction and give us strength as we move forward. And we thank you for all you've done and all you're going to do. In your wonderful and powerful name, amen. Amen. We're going to close by singing